this morning. And before we get into it, I'd like to give a little review of last night, because especially some were not here. And it was really good. It was really good. So let's all read again the title from the front of the book, including the small text and the big text. Okay? Ready? Go. The beginning and the end. A bird's eye view of life and building in the Holy Bible. So what impresses me is that although the Bible is so big and there's so much in it, God showed us at the beginning something very important. In fact, it showed what was His purpose, what He was most interested in. And then, all the way at the end of the Bible, He spoke the same thing again. So at the beginning, you have the Garden of Eden. You have man placed there. You have the Tree of Life. You have the river. And at the end of the Bible, you also have the Tree of Life. In fact, these songs that we were singing are all about the Tree of Life. They all come from the end of the Bible. They're all the verses in Revelation 21 and 22. For example, let him who wills take the water of life freely. Amen. That's 22:17, Revelation 22:17. So, not only that, we also saw how God created man, and He also took the rib from the man, and He built a woman, Eve. So, God's building is a woman. Did you ever think of that? That's wonderful. At the end of the Bible, you also have a universal couple. You have the Lamb, and you have the wife. You have the Spirit and the Bride. And it's not just a little bride, it's a or an individual woman. Actually, it's a corporate woman. It's a building that includes all of us, all of the redeemed and regenerated believers. We are that woman. So we also saw life and building is what the Bible is about. So at the very beginning, when God created Adam, He didn't put him in a school or a factory. He put him in a garden. That's because God is interested in growing something. He's altogether interested with life. In fact, God put man in front of the Tree of Life because God cares for life. What is life? Life is God Himself. This is wonderful. And God wants man to take Him in as life. That's why He was placed in front of the Tree of Life. Because God wants to be life to man. When the Lord Jesus came, He said He came to be food to man. He said, "I am the bread of life." In 1:4 we saw last night, He is life. In Him was life. So the Lord Jesus, our wonderful Savior, is life. Don't think life so abstract. God was abstract, but He presented Himself to us as the Tree of Life. Something that we can all understand and even touch, receive. And this Tree of Life wasn't a big sequoia, a big redwood, so tall, so majestic. It was a small tree. We know this because the Lord Jesus said, "I am the true vine." A vine, as we've all seen, is so low, but it's also so broad, it reaches to everybody. And we'll see in this message that God's desire is to reach everyone. He's a reaching triune God. He's not just a Tree of Life waiting, but He's reaching. Okay. You see, we have the desire to convey a vision of the whole Bible by looking at the first two books, the first two chapters and the last two chapters. But this vision is the wonderful person of the triune God. Okay? So, oh Lord Jesus, if I were introducing you to someone, let's say we were, I'd like to introduce you to someone, and then you're just silent and quiet. I say, hi, and then you say, you don't say anything. Well, you're not really meeting that person. So as we get into this wonderful person, on my end, I'm just reading some verses, enjoying the outline with you. But on your end, you have to be, oh Lord Jesus. You have to be opening your mouth, right? You have to be exercising. And so that's where I will begin, because God has the desire to, in His eternal purpose, through life, right? His way is life, to gain this corporate entity, which we will see in the later meetings. But we want to see the steps that He took to accomplish His purpose. And the first step, you could say, is He created man, right? But He created man in a specific way. Everything He just said and came into being. But with man, man is created in a special way. In a way to match God. Because if man is to receive God, then man has to be created in a different way than everything else. So, what is God that man needs to be created in a special way for? God is spirit. John 4:24 tells us that God's substance is spirit. So if you have a table that's made of wood, the nature, the substance, what is that table? It's wood. God is spirit. This is what God is. So for us to receive Him, He had to create us with a human spirit. So maybe this is our first time hearing that we have something in us called the human spirit. This is an amazing discovery. And I'll tell you why. Because the human spirit allows us to contact God. Amen. The human spirit allows us to receive God. Amen. To communicate with God. Let me tell you a little story. And the brothers that came with me in the car will like this. When we were driving here, sometimes we were singing, sometimes we were reading, sometimes we were listening to something, and sometimes some of us were sleeping. And I sat in the front passenger seat, and I would look back at everybody, and I would wave. Just because I like to stay in touch with everyone. And it makes the long trip shorter. I turned back, and Anda was sleeping. I still waved at him. And I smiled at him. And you know what? He doesn't know that. He's finding that out right now. Why? Because how come he didn't know that I was there trying to reach out, trying to contact him? Because the organ used to see me was closed. It was not functioning. His eyes. He has to use his eyes if he wants to see something. If he wants to hear something, he has to use his ears and so on. So for us to contact God, to know God, to receive God, we have to exercise the right spirit, the right organ. We can't use just our mind. We can't use our body. Like if we go somewhere, we think we're going to meet God just by going, doing something physical. We have to use our human spirit. That's why we sang the song about exercising our spirit. When we first find this out, we've never used this organ before and it's a little bit weak. That's okay. Kind of like when you go to the gym after years that you haven't gone there. And I go to lift and everybody's lifting these big things and I lift the bar. Right? And they look at me and they say, Daniel, you're supposed to put the weights. So I have to explain. I haven't done this for a long time. I got to start somewhere. Let's all start somewhere right now. Let's all say, oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. Well, that was kind of big weights right there for some of you. Because you exercise a lot. That's really good. You got to start even small is okay. That's why maybe, just the bar. Just open a little bit. Okay. All right. So God took these steps to accomplish His purpose. The first one is creating man with a spirit. And to God, the spirit of man is very important. In Zechariah, it says that He stretched forth the heavens, He laid the foundations of the earth, and He formed the spirit of man within Him. That means it ranks with the creation of the universe, the spirit of man. Okay. Then He put Him in front of the tree of life. He presented Himself to man as the tree of life, something that's good for food, not just for studying, not just for knowing about. For example, when you went to breakfast, you didn't just take the food in front of you and 20 minutes went by. No, food means to eat. So, and I appreciated what was spoken yesterday about how to eat. And you would think, what do you have to do? Do you have to be loud? Do you have to? No, what was shared is we have to take care of our heart. Because the Lord comes into our heart, right? And so it has to be soft to receive the Lord, as soil has to be soft to receive the seed. Remember, this is a matter of life. The Lord is life. He's not just coming in to reside there and stay there still forever. He's going in as a little seed that everybody's watching to see if it's growing. So we need to take care of our heart. I also appreciate it very much. The way to eat is to make sure we have no problems between us and the Lord. And no problems between us and the brothers and sisters. And let me just testify that the way I prepared for this message is by getting right with the Lord. What was I doing this week? I was making sure that there was no problem between me and any brother or sister. And we can all do this. And so there's the verse that says, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life. But this is not enough. This is step two. Step three. Let's read the title of message two together. Go. The river of water of life. Let's do it again. The river of water of life. For God to come into us, He is the river. You know how I said I wanted to introduce you to someone? This one is God. I'd like to introduce you to a river. Who is God to you? What is God to you? Is He a distant God? Is He an abstract God? With this weekend we're seeing He's the tree of life. He's the spirit. And He's a river of water of life. And He desires to flow. That God is a flowing triune God. Have you ever considered that He's triune, Father, Son, and Spirit, so that He can flow and reach all of us? Amen. So as the Father, you know He revealed Himself as a fountain. In Jeremiah 2:13, I think it says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me as the fountain of living water. God told us that He's the fountain. And then the Lord Jesus told us that if anybody drinks of Him, what will happen? He will put in them, He will put into them this water, into their being, and that water will become in them a fountain. So who comes into us? Father, Son, or Spirit? Yes. The fountain comes into us. Where is the fountain of living water whom we should not forsake? It's in our spirit. That's where He has come in. And that's where He lives. And that's where He's a fountain. Now, let me tell you about a fountain. If you've ever gone to the mountains and looked for a fountain, you may not have found it. Because a fountain is hidden. Just like the fountain of the triune God is hidden in our spirit. But this fountain emerges out of the ground as a spring. When there's a spring, that means you begin to see it. That's the Lord Jesus. He came out from God. He is the river of water of life. And he comes out of God to reach man. And what is the Spirit? It's the flow. The flow. This river flowing out. How do we know this? John 7:38-39. He said, the Lord Jesus said, he who believes into me, as the scripture said, have we all believed in the Lord?
Amen.
Let's all declare, I believe in the Lord. I believe in the Lord. He who believes into me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being, the Spirit, out of his human spirit, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water flowing out of your innermost being. That sounds like a song we just sang. It's just the Bible. The next verse says, but this he said concerning the Spirit. The Spirit of the Triune God is the rivers of living water flowing out of your innermost being. You're just connected with the Triune God now. That's why we sing, we're one Spirit with the Lord. He's not over there. He's in here. Okay. Now, this river accomplishes God's purpose. At the beginning of the Bible, all the way to the end of the Bible, the river is there. And this river accomplishes God's purpose. So let's turn to the outline and read Roman numeral 1 together. Go. At the beginning and the end of the Bible, we find the tree of life and a river flowing with living water. The tree of life is the embodiment of life. But in order for this life to enter into us, there is the need for it to flow. Amen. Amen. Let me read you a verse from Genesis 2:10. And a river went forth from Eden to water the garden. And from there it divided and became four branches. So this river waters the garden. Why do you need to water the garden? Why? Do you have a garden? Have you ever watered it? It's because you want the life things in there to grow. Okay. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. The river in the Garden of Eden was parted and became four branches. This signifies that the river flows out of God as the source and the center to reach men in every direction. This is wonderful. Because the fact that, first of all, God is uniquely one. So there's one river. We're not saying there are four gods. There's only one river. But the fact that it divided into four branches signifies that his desire is to reach all men. Amen. On the whole globe, goes in every direction. To the north, let's reach them. To the east, let's reach them. To the west, let's reach them. To the south, let's reach them. That means that everybody can receive the Triune God as the river of life. There's no requirement on us. There's no qualification. There's all kinds of people in this room, you've noticed. From all kinds of backgrounds that are very diverse. To that, the Triune God says, come. Because I am a river that reaches in every direction. This is our God. He's that open. We may be a little closed, but He is so desirous of reaching everyone. So I'll read A. The first branch, Pishon, means that the river of life flows freely, making everything grow and bringing in three kinds of precious material, gold, pearl, and precious stone. Remember the way to the tree of life was cut off because man partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, that way has been opened again. Because the Lord Jesus took care of that problem by taking care of our sins. So now this river, like I mentioned, there's no requirement on us. It is free. By saying it's free, it doesn't just mean it flows wildly. It means that there's no price. Right? Last night we sang, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. He who has no money, it's free. And then at the end of the Bible, it's still the same thing. Let him who wills take the water of life freely. This is wonderful. In Ezekiel 47:9, that's one of the verses, it says, wherever the river goes, life grows. There will be very many fish there. The waters of the sea will be healed. That means if you want to grow in life as a Christian, which we all must do for us to be built together, to become this corporate bride, means for us to grow. For us to grow, we have everything we need. Amen. There's the river. The river of water of life. Okay. Amen. How about the sisters read B?
The name of the second branch, Shikihon, means turbulence of waters and implies fullness.
Amen.
The flowing of the divine river is so rich and strong that it can change our evil nature and even glorify us.
Amen. Amen. Like I said, everything that we need is in this river. But we have to realize something first, is our background. We look at Romans 7:18 there, that verse reference. That's the Apostle Paul, of all people, right? And he's declaring that although he desires, he even wills to do the good, yet working it out is not with him. That means we have something in us that is against God. That we want to do good, but bad comes out. This happens with all of us. This describes all of us. And yet God wants to grow in us and transform us into something so precious. How does He do this? How does He do this? The divine river is so rich and strong. It's stronger than us. It will conquer us. It will defeat us. Don't put your trust in trying to adjust our behavior, in outward improvement, in self-help books. Put your trust, complete trust, in the river of water of life. All the healthy ingredients are in that river. And it's strong. And it will overcome us. And it will change us. Although we cannot change ourselves, the river can change us. Okay. Brothers, see. Okay. Consider what powerful things there are in the universe. And I'm just going to tell you, right off the bat, the most powerful thing in the universe. The most powerful one in the universe. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection. What does that mean? You might think death is very powerful. No one can overcome death. Everybody dies. And if you're dying, you can't undie yourself. But the Lord Jesus, His resurrection is powerful. Amen. And in Philippians 3:10, we see that we should know this power. To know Him and the power of His resurrection. Amen. This river, brothers and sisters, is powerful. Amen. Amen. So I'll read the fourth branch is called Euphrates, which means sweet. Oh, the Lord Jesus is so sweet. Amen. Making fertile. Or fruitful. So, He's enjoyable. And He's sweet. And you know what? If you were to be with the Lord, He would be so fragrant. Meaning there would be a kind of a sweet aroma. Right? As you were coming up here in your cars, you know, maybe somebody opened something and filled the car with the smell. There was an aroma. Well, we surely experience this. The Lord Jesus has a sweetness to Him that attracts everybody. And when He captures us for Himself, in fact, we should all consider ourselves captives. We've been taken by the Lord, and He is taking us as a train of vanquished foes. He caught us all, and He's taking us with Him like on a victorious parade, saying, these are my captives. And as we come by, as we go by the university campus, this train, there's an aroma with us too. There's a sweetness. And this river, with everything that the Lord is fruitful. Is fruitful. Again, trust in the river. Don't trust in our organization. Our outward activity. Not to say we shouldn't be organized and we shouldn't do activities. But our trust is in the river. The river will produce the fruit for the Lord. What is the fruit? It's the development of the growth in life. When you're looking at a peach tree, you're looking at the small little thing that's going to start to grow and grow. There's a development there. Okay? That development is the fruit of the life in the tree. In the river. Is it a tree or is it a river? Yes. Our triune God. Amen. That's Him. Okay. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together. At the end of the New Testament, it is revealed that in the New Jerusalem, there is a river of water of life.
Signifying the abundance of life in its flow.
Amen. So, I would say that from here on, I really like to focus on how to drink. Because we care about the subjective experience. Not just knowing that our triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is a fountain, a spring, and a river. But we want to drink this river. We want to jump in. We want to be carried away by this river. Okay. And this river is not just floating in the universe. It comes from somewhere. It has a source. The source is the throne. Right? At the beginning of the Bible, the river came out from Eden. That signifies it came out from God. At the end of the Bible, in the New Jerusalem, we see the river proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. If we want to drink this river, we have to come to the Lord on the throne. There has to be a throne. So, in our experience, He's in our spirit. But maybe we ignore Him. Maybe we don't listen to Him. Maybe we hear Him, but then we disobey Him. All these things prevent us from experiencing the river that proceeds out of the throne. So we have to, in our experience, enthrone Him. Every time we enthrone the Lord, a river is there. Okay? A, the river of water of life flows out of the throne of God and of the Lamb to supply and saturate the entire New Jerusalem. That river at the end of the Bible that proceeded out of the throne of God and of the Lamb reached the entire city. Amen. That shows that the supply is in that river. In Revelation 22:1, we see the flowing triune God. God the Father is the source. The Lamb, the Son, is the Redeemer. And the Spirit is the river. So brothers and sisters, come. Come. In the Bible, even, we enjoyed God calls us to come. Everyone who thirsts, come. At the end of the Bible, the Spirit, the Bride, are still saying, come. Amen. Come to the river. Come to the Lord. We have to... This is an exercise. It doesn't just land on our lap when we're sitting there. We have to come. Now, if you ever come to a drinking fountain, okay, and you want to drink some water, first thing you have to do is you have to position yourself. You have to get down, put your mouth there. That's the positioning. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for also in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all given to drink one spirit. We are all positioned to drink. We're ready. Thank you, Lord. Remember, in Exodus, the children of Israel that were in the wilderness were thirsty. And what God gave them was a rock. You're thirsty? Here's a rock. But out from this rock flowed living water. And the apostle told us that this rock was Christ. So we have to know how is it that we participate in this living water? How is it that we drink? We're properly positioned. We're ready to go. What do you have to do? What do you have to do? Okay. So, little two. We must take our redeeming God as our head and as our authority and submit to His headship out of this established throne. The life-giving Spirit flows within us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we all have the fountain of living water installed in our being. And when He flows out of our being. He's in there and He's flowing. Let's take care of the flow. Let's take care of that flow. That it just continue on. It's kind of up to us. If the flow comes, and it reached me, but then it just stopped there. That's too bad. You're suddenly not in the flow. Even though He installed Himself in your being, maybe you haven't been enjoying. Maybe you haven't been enjoying certain meetings, reading the Bible, certain aspects of your life. You've been kind of down. Maybe that's because the flow came, but then the flow stopped. So we have to be ones who pay attention to the flow. Pay attention to the flow, maybe more than anything else in your life. There's a song that I really like. Lord, I treasure the sweet flow of life. We have to treasure this sweet flow. Everything is there, as we saw. God will accomplish His eternal purpose through this river. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Joy. Just enjoy singing this together.
Therefore with joy shall ye draw water
out of the wells of salvation.
Stand up, go ahead.
Today shall ye say, praise the Lord. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Cry out and shout, hallelujah, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee.
Okay, we can sit down. A little chance to stretch. Me put the microphone on and release our spirit. Flow out a little bit, right? So I appreciate our brother Daniel's opening and first half of this message. And I'm just going to continue finishing Roman numeral 3 and then continue through the outline. But I really appreciate that point. Just to highlight again, in the start of the Bible, the Lord shows us a vision. He shows us a way. Right? He shows the tree and a river. And at the end of the Bible, the tree and the river are there. But interestingly enough, the order is reversed. In Genesis, it's a tree, then a river. But in Revelation, it's a river and a tree. Right? The river is first and the tree is in the river. Right? So just to kind of see this little point of view, right? Roman numeral 2 pointing out tree and then there's the river there, right? The river's flowing. But at the end of the Bible, in one sense, the same thing is there. But I appreciate again, as Daniel brought out, one of the first things we have to realize is, where is that river coming from?
From the throne of our God and the Lamb flows a river of water of life.
That's good enough. You get it though, right? From the throne. Where does that ever come from? Comes from the throne, right? And so practically speaking, we need to open ourselves to the Lord. If there's some problem between us and the Lord, there's no way for that river to flow. There's no way for that river to flow in our being. And so in point B, the river of water of life flows in the middle of the street of the New Jerusalem. Now, that sounds like an interesting point. And like, okay, so it flows in the middle of the street. What's that mean? Right? Well, there's two little subpoints there that kind of help open it up. The street of the holy city is gold. Okay, well, there's a lot of symbolic picture there, and it's a symbol, which symbolizes the divine nature. That sounds really good. But I got a question for you. Does anybody here know what the divine nature is? Anybody? Right? So I'm going to share a little something to help it, because if you don't know what it is, it's kind of like, amen, sounds good, but what is it? So let me help you. What is the divine nature? What does the Bible say that God is? God is spirit. All right. There's some who know, right? So God is spirit. In John 4:24, when there was the Samaritan woman there, and she was, you know, discussing with the Lord helped her to see something. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in their human spirit, right? Like Daniel pointed out, right? One of the greatest things is to know that we have a human spirit. If we don't know that we have a human spirit, it's quite difficult to get to the next portion of this message, which we're going to get to in a little bit. Because that's the key. Our spirit is the key to worship God. Right? We have a spirit. He is spirit. But to be able to substantiate that, like Daniel's illustration, if I want to see him waving, I need my eyes open. Is he waving? I don't know. Because my eyes aren't open. Now I can see. Well, he's not waving. That's okay. But I need the right organ. I need the right organ. Same thing. I need a human spirit to touch God as spirit. Okay, but what else is God? God is light. That's another one. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message which we've heard and announced to you, that God is light. Right? Some of us have been in Genesis. What happened when God spoke? He said, let there be light. Right? Because that's who God is. God is light. When we got saved, something shined into our being. That was God. God as light shined into us. So his nature is spirit. It's also light. But there was another one kind of in between there, I think. One right before light. God is love. Love. God is also life, too. I'm just going to focus on three, though. God is spirit. God is love. And God is light. Those are the three verses in the Bible where it says God is. God is this, right? In one sense, God is righteous. He's also holy. There's all a number of other things. But specifically, there's three verses that say God is. God is spirit. God is love. And God is light. So, in one sense, we need to submit to the Lord as our head. We need to open to him. Come forward to the throne of God, right? Right? There's a verse in Hebrews, right? Let us come forward with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive. Right? If you want to receive something, you have to come forward to that throne of grace. Let the Lord, you know, come to him, and then there's a way for that flow to be there. But not only so, we need to walk a certain way. That flow is a certain place. It's in the middle of the street, which of course is of gold. But the fact that it's in the middle of the street means it's as the point said, it is symbolizes the divine nature, right? Where the divine life flows, there is the divine life. There's the divine nature as the holy way. So the Lord's nature becomes our way. So if once we're taking of this life, we come to the Lord as our head, it issues in something. We walk in a certain way. And so as an illustration, if we come to the Lord, let's say I had time with the Lord in the morning. Maybe we all had some time with the Lord, right? Would then it be right for me to go to the store and then, you know, I'm waiting in line and just be like, I can't believe this line is so long. This is ridiculous. I can't believe how long this is. Full of complaining. That's what happened there. Well, didn't I come to the Lord to receive something? Is that an expression of the Lord's life, complaining? Right? We all do this, right? I'm not, you know, I do this and I'm being reminded right now that I do this. But that's an indication. I need to come to the Lord. Then the result is that the flow is in the street. And the flow results in the divine nature being expressed. So, many times, though, after we've really had a good time with the Lord, there there's just something, you know, there's something within us. God is love is now within us. This guy in the grocery store, I'm not irritated with him. Actually, in one sense, I love him. I want to share something with him. The guy who's in front, who's taking so long, maybe the cashier. We've all had this happen, you know, the cashier's new and they're taking so long getting every itemized thing of the guy in front of you. Then it's finally your turn and you're like, I just want to get out of here. You know, but if we've enjoyed the Lord, there may be a response. You know what? How about you express me as love to this person? And you might, maybe the Lord might stir in you to share something with that person who, you know, maybe delayed you a little bit. It wasn't a big deal, really. You know, oh Lord, you know what? I was enjoying something this morning. I was enjoying that he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And I bet my mom may be like, what's that mean? Let me share something with you. You can be one spirit with the Lord. Very easy. Oh, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the way to let him in. Let me tell you that. Right? Right? That's what, practical speaking, right? You enjoy a hymn. Something gets into you. Just share a little something. Okay? This is to, as we are enjoying the Lord's life, his nature gets expressed. That's our way. So that's hopefully a little opening up of why it's important. The flow is in the street. The flow is the Lord, he is our way. And his nature is spirit, love, and light. The next point, the river of water of life is bright as crystal, having no dimness or opaqueness. When this water of life flows in us, it purifies us and makes us transparent. Right, so here's another wonderful benefit of this water, right? So at the end of the New Testament, there's these aspects. There's the throne, there's the street, and there's something of brightness. Right, as the river of water of life flows through us, as this river flows through us, all of a sudden, we become clear. We become bright about many things. Many times, right, Lord, what should I study? Where should I go? You know, some of you may be nearing completion of school, or maybe you're just still starting. But no matter where you're at in school, there's all kinds of decisions. Lord, how should I arrange my schedule next semester? This semester is almost over. Which classes should I take? Oh Lord, show me, right? You know, the Lord's not a magic eight ball you should come to, right? But if we open to the Lord, and this Lord, we just let the Lord flow through our being. We come to him. And I'm going to share more later on how to come to him and how to spend some time with him. But if we let that river flow through us, there's a result. There's a brightness, right? The river is bright as crystal, transparent, right? So we begin to see what is the Lord's burden. Actually, the best way to know what the Lord's burden is not to try to figure it out by studying, well, let me pull out my Bible. What does the Lord say about taking organic chem 2? I don't know. Is there anything in there? But actually, if you... I don't know. Is there an organic chem too, or is it just one? Is it one or two? I don't know. I never took it. I was an electrical engineer. I didn't take chemistry other than chemistry 1. So, that's a side note. But the main thing is that if we let this river flow, there's a brightness. Our situation has become clear. And the way to do that is to say, Lord, I just submit myself to you. Again, going back to that throne. It all starts from the throne. Lord, I submit myself to you. Lord, what do you want to do? I open to you. Lord, I don't know. I confess, I don't know. I confess, here's my thought. Here's what I want. But Lord, I just open to you. As we submit to the Lord, not trying to figure it out, there's something of brightness, something of transparency, right? So that these points are not just like doctrinal points to like memorize. Oh, I've got these points. There's something to experience. And I appreciate it. Brother shared something with us a while back. And a lot of times, Christians, this is a very common prayer. Lord, what is your will? What do you want? That's not a bad prayer. It's not a bad prayer. But I appreciate it. Brother helped us. A little different view. And he said, I don't pray so much to know, Lord, what is your will? I pray, Lord, strengthen me to accept your will. You see the difference, right? Strengthen me to come to you. Right? If we're willing to accept his will, he'll show us his will. But many times we may pray, Lord, show me your will. And the Lord's thought is, I'll show it to you, but you're not going to do it. So there's really no point in me showing it to you. So that's why it's good to pray, Lord, strengthen me. Strengthen me to accept your will. What do you want to do? You know, we were talking on the way up here, right, about Balaam, right? Where's Josh? There's Josh, right? He asked the question about Balaam, right? And so then he was like, well, let me ask the Lord if I should go do this. The Lord said, don't do it. And he said, okay, I'm sorry, I can't do it. They came again, offering him even more money. Well, let me go to the Lord. The Lord had already told him no. I don't need to go to the Lord over this. You're offering me more money. Let me see if the Lord changed his mind. No. The Lord had said no. But in one sense, he wasn't open. He wasn't open. He wanted to do it. So that time, everybody ever been burdened why the Lord, like a second time, let him go? It's because Balaam had already made it up in his heart. He wanted to go. So he said, go ahead. Then he was ready to kill him. That's when the donkey showed up and all that story. So I'll leave that for another time. Now you know the rest of the story, Josh. But the key thing there is we need to submit ourselves. Lord, I just submit myself to you. Oh, Lord. Now, how's my time doing? Oh, I went way too long on this. Okay, well, my main burden, though, is this next point. In the Bible, the drinking of the water of life and the flowing of the water of life go together. So a burden in this message is how to drink, like Brother Daniel brought out. We need to see the first drinking and flowing go together. Have that as an overview point. I'm going to touch drinking, then I'm going to touch flowing, and then we'll see how they go together. But for starters, right, so we might talk about how great that river was, right? These previous points talk about how much we need the river. And you're like, yeah, I need the river. Except, how do I get it? I need a drink. Amen. Like Daniel pointed out, the first point, though, of how to drink is you have to be positioned to drink. Here, Daniel, come up here. All right. Right now, he's not exactly positioned to drink. Why? Does anyone know why this guy's not positioned to drink? There's no water. That's the first point. There's no water. I haven't opened this bottle. It's fresh, so don't worry. Okay, all right? And I hope I don't get you wet in this illustration. But so, we have to be positioned to drink. You don't mind staying up here with me, right?
No.
Okay, good. All right. We have to be positioned to drink. And as Daniel brought up, the first way to be positioned to drink is we need to get baptized. Anybody here not been baptized? Don't raise your hand. Just be considering, though. I don't know if there's a way to baptize people somehow in this conference. We've done it somehow before. But don't worry. There was a conference recently where saints just got in their, you know, like a tie and shirt like this. They just jumped into the pool and got baptized. There is a pool here somewhere. And if you need to get baptized by the end of the weekend, we can work it out. Because we want you to be positioned to drink.
Amen.
So the first thing, though, is you need to be positioned to drink. And the way to be positioned is to be baptized. So think about it, though. Once you get in that water, all you got to do is open. Oh, gets right in. You know? I don't recommend that because we don't want anybody to die. But spiritually speaking, once you get baptized, boom, you got in the water. All you have to do is just open. Oh, it just gets right in. Right? So in one sense, I'm going to say this. Now he's positioned to drink. You don't have to do it yet. Maybe his mouth is open to you, but you don't have to keep it open the whole time. So he's positioned. He's ready to drink. But also, we need to have a sense of thirst. So let's say he's positioned to drink. He's got it, but he's not thirsty. Is he going to open this bottle if he's not thirsty? Right? We both got our bottles. We're positioned. We're ready. But I'm not thirsty. So the next point, this is kind of like a little science. All these little points, you know, somebody dug them out to help us to see there is a specific way to drink. And we need to have a sense of thirst. If you go to the verse in Exodus 17:3, we were talking about this yesterday. This was, again, on our car write-up. We were doing biblical 20 questions. And it was a tricky one because it was the tree. And we asked whether or not it was living or dead. And technically it was dead because it was a log. But so then we didn't think of that tree. But anyhow, there was a tree that was cast into waters. That was one instance of drinking. Then also the other instance is that Daniel pointed out. There was the rock that was smitten, right? Moses struck the rock and then outflowed waters. So in Exodus 17, though, it says the Israelites were thirsty. That was a key thing. If they weren't thirsty, then they'd have no need for water. If Daniel's not thirsty, he has no need for water. We need to realize that we are thirsty. And even the Lord cried out at the end of a feast in John 7, if anyone thirsts! In like 7 days, or maybe it was, I think it was about 7 days of feasting, something like that. And probably some of them were thinking like, we've been eating and drinking. I'm not sure what you're thinking. You know, what are you talking about? We've been feasting, right? But probably there were many in there. Yeah, I've been feasting, but I'm still thirsty. I still have a need. This feast didn't take care of my need. So the Lord cries out, if anyone thirsts, then the next point, let him come to me. Let him come to me. So point three, we need to come to the Lord. Amen. Right? Okay, so now I'm going to take this bottle again. So he's positioned, he's ready, but now the water has come to him again. Now he's got it. He's got to come to it. But you got to open it, right? Okay, don't drink it yet. I'm getting there. All right. So we need to come to the Lord, right? Revelation 22:17, right? And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Right? That's the first thing. The Lord even said that. If you're thirsty, come to me. Right? We need to come to Him. Okay. How do we come to the Lord? Practical question, right? So, we've been baptized, hopefully. And if we're not, maybe we'll get baptized by the end of the weekend. We recognize we're thirsty. We open, oh Lord, I am thirsty. I have a need. And even, let me go back to that matter of thirst. It is a mercy to be thirsty. Many people don't realize that that's what their need is. They're not thirsty for that. You mean you meet people on campus and you share something of enjoyment and they're like, oh, that's good for you. That's not, you know. Oh, you only share something about I just got from this conference. That's nice you believe that. Or something like that. You know what I mean? Has anybody had that experience? You're sharing something of the Lord and they're just kind of like, they're not thirsty. It is a mercy of the Lord to be thirsty. Because then you realize, I have a need. So that's a mercy. But then also, how then can we come to the Lord? I got a question. How do we come? I'm just going to give you a simple answer. Lord Jesus, I come to you. It's not very difficult. Sorry, I wasn't trying to make that mystery. You just have to tell the Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you right now. Lord, I don't want to stop my coming to you. Lord, right in the time of the morning, that's the first place. Lord, I'm going to come to you right now, like what Paul shared earlier. Do it first thing. Because if you don't do it first thing, my experience, too, is it's harder throughout the day. Just first thing, Lord, I just come to you. I'm coming again. Lord, I'm just opening my being to you. Lord Jesus. Right? Just open. Just ask the Lord. Lord, I want to come to you. Very simple. Then fourth point, we need to ask. We need to ask the Lord. The Samaritan woman was there, and she asked. You know, if you'd known who it was, you'd have asked me. You'd have asked me, and I would have given you living water. So again, it's just like, Lord Jesus, I come to you. Lord, I'm thirsty. Lord, I'm asking you. Lord, quench my thirst. My heart is hungry. My spirit doth thirst. I come to thee, Lord, to seek thy supply. I come to thee, Lord. I'm asking. Lord, I'm thirsty. Sorry, otherwise we'd go through the whole song. And my time's kind of limited. Lord. But now we're getting to the real point. Okay, sorry, brother. You've been standing here a long time. I appreciate it. He's thirsty. He's positioned, right? Now he's asking for it. Can I drink it now? Right? Yeah. All right. But here's the way. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
All right, take a drink. Let's both take one. Oh, Lord Jesus. He can keep that. Thank you, brother. All right, thank you. So that's the real thing. All that is somewhat build up to this fifth point. We need to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Right? And, you know, some of us are probably very familiar with the matter of calling on the Lord, although probably we need to practice it a lot more. And some of us may be not that familiar with the matter of calling on the name of the Lord. So I want to spend a little time just to talk about it in a specific and definite way. Why? Where do we get that from? Okay, so you got all these great points. Where do you get that we should call in the name of the Lord? Why would that be the thing that quenches our thirst? And a brother was sharing something related to the Bible. There are many things in the Bible that are not explicitly revealed. And so you kind of have to put things together. As an example, the matter of believing. It says, believe and you shall be saved. How do you believe? Anybody? No. Just believe. That's how you do it, though. Well, very simple way is right here. Anybody have their Bible? Let's open up to Romans 10, 9 through 12. If you need to help lead someone to the Lord, these verses are golden. These verses are the most definite way to help someone know assuredly that they have received the Lord. And even the Word says that they have been saved. So Romans 10, For the sake of somebody getting to read it, how about somebody stand up and read us the verse? Romans 10:9. You could read through the whole section, or if somebody wants to split it up, just start reading. We're going to go all the way to 13. 10:9-13.
That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord.
Go for it, brother. Amen.
That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen. Number 10. Anybody? Go for it.
For with the heart there is believing unto righteousness, and with the mouth there is confession unto salvation.
Amen. Confession unto salvation. Go ahead, sisters.
For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him shall not be put to shame.
Amen.
For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, and rich to all who call upon him.
Amen.
The last one. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, good. Now, how do we call on the name of the Lord? Now we're all stirred up. I want to do it, right? How can I call on the name of the Lord? Well, it's good to follow the godly patterns that are in the Bible, right? Many places, Paul was telling me, there's over 60 accounts of people calling on the name of the Lord. But it's interesting, how did they do it? How did they do it? Okay, that's good. Now I know I need to do it. But how do I do it? Oh, Lord Jesus! That's how to do it. Just like that. You know, maybe you can't do it that loud in your class. You can go, oh, Lord Jesus. Maybe it's early in the morning and there's people right next to you. So you can go. Or you can go. Either way. Use your mouth, though, because that verse points out it's with the mouth. Right? So there's no excuse. Use your mouth. It's very helpful. That opens. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. That's a verse in Psalms, right? But so related to that, though, I was just considering, there's so many psalmists that say, oh Lord, our Lord, right? Psalm 8. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent thy name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord. And then even there's a prayer of Hezekiah. And I was looking through it one time. I think it's in Isaiah, or if it's the Record of Kings, I forget. I think it's in Isaiah. But he's praying and he just says, oh Jehovah, oh Jehovah. He's like praying and he's saying all these things, but he keeps interspersing, oh Jehovah, or oh Lord, depending on the translation. Oh Lord, oh Lord. Even why oh, right? What's the deal with that? Oh, it's scriptural. That's what they did. Oh, Lord. They didn't just say Lord, you know, although some did. But it's good to say, oh, Lord, right? Like Daniel was saying, it's like the bar. Oh, you know, and then put some weights on. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ. I love you, Lord. Get those weights going, right? That's a good way to exercise your spirit, you know. The best way is, oh, Lord Jesus Christ, I love you. That's a big one, but any version of that. Oh, oh Lord. Oh Lord, amen, hallelujah. This is all ways to call on the Lord. It's an exercise. See, I need to curl up here. My arms aren't that good, but it's not. But this is a way to exercise. My time's running out, but this final point, right? We should receive the Spirit as the living water and take it freely by believing into Christ. Two points in there. We need to receive. The first verse there is, but this he said concerning the Spirit, about those who are about to receive, who was about to receive. I got it all mixed up. When you get up here, your mind kind of evaporates some of the verses that are in your being. But I'm going to read it to you accurately so you get the whole thing. But John 7:39. But this he said concerning the Spirit, whom those who believed into him were about to receive. Right? So that is also a way of drinking. Receiving. Just receiving the Lord. But not only that, take freely the water of life. So these points, we need to receive and we need to take. This is kind of like a science of drinking. And actually, I put out a whole bunch more points. My time is limited, though, because I want to leave some time for you all to share. So I just want to kind of share it in a simple way. This outlines the science of it in one sense. Here's how to drink. You got to be positioned like Daniel was. You got to have a thirst. You have to come to the Lord. Ask the Lord for the water. And the key thing, when you do it, you need to call, Lord Jesus. That's the way to drink. Then you're receiving and you're taking. You're taking that water. But also, just some other points. Because in John, there's also some mentioning of drinking. And what did the Lord help the Samaritan woman do? He helped her confess her sins. That's one of those first things. That's why a lot of times in the morning, if we want to exercise our spirit, I appreciate a brother who used this word, sometimes we have to tune our spirit like a radio, right? If you got a radio, it's got the ability to receive radio waves. But if it's not on the right channel, all I'm hearing is static. You turn it on. That's sometimes us in the morning. I'm trying to talk to you, Lord, but all I'm hearing is static. What's going on? We need to tune our spirit. How do you tune it in? Confess. Oh, Lord, I'm just open to you. And sometimes maybe there's nothing. Maybe there's nothing you can think of. Sometimes there are things we can think of. But we just open to the Lord. I just want to confess. Or if there's any barrier between you and I right now, shine on me. Lord, I don't want to go digging for things. That's not my point. I just want to confess. I want to tune my spirit so I can hear your speaking. So to confess, this is also related to drinking. He helped that woman to confess her sins, right? And we need to contact the Lord, again, as was pointed out, in our spirit. And believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's what she did, and she drank. Those three things happened. And she drank living water, and the Lord drank. Two people got a drink from that. So even when we drink, guess what? The Lord's getting a drink too. Sometimes we might just think, oh, my drinking's for myself. I'm thirsty. If you're thirsty, that's an indication God is thirsty. He's thirsty for you because you're thirsty for Him. He's put that thirst in you. So it's mutual. When you drink, He gets a drink, right? Famous verse, Psalm 110, probably a number of people, 110:3, a number of people can recite it, right? But the key thing is, oh no, actually it's the latter part of Psalm 110, verse 7, I think, where it says, He will drink from the brook by the way, right? So actually, He will drink when we enjoy Him in the morning. They go together, right? The dew from the womb of the dawn. We enjoy some drink. But then the end is He enjoys a drink too. Oh, Lord. I still have more burden to share. But all right, I'm going to just take a few more minutes. And I think we'll leave 20 minutes for sharing. Is that okay? All right. So about 8 more minutes. And I'm going to try to be finished. But we have another great portion in the Word that opens up how to drink. And it's something we sang this morning. Isaiah chapter 12. So if you want to open to your Bible real quick and look at Isaiah chapter 12, I'm going to read through a few verses. The translation that I have has the Lord's name pronounced, O Jehovah. There are other translations, might say Yahweh or O Lord. That's fine. But I'm just going to read this translation. It says, O Jehovah. And so, right in the first part of verse 1, it says, In that day I will say, I will praise you, O Jehovah, right? So there it is. That's one way, a way to drink this water. Praise Him, right? I think our brother Paul brought that out. Spend some time to do a couple things, right? Praise the Lord, right? Okay, so how do we praise the Lord? Well, Lord Jesus, for starters, we have to see something of the Lord. It's good to say praise the Lord, but it's good to praise the Lord for something. If you see something in the Word, wow, Lord, I praise you. It is so easy to receive you. I praise you. You've made it so easy. I've seen that now all I have to do is call on your name. Praise you, Lord. I can receive you by calling on your name. Right? This is a good way to drink. Also, we mentioned calling on His name. That also happens to be in there. If you go to verse 4, it says, In that day, I'm going to jump ahead. Give thanks to Jehovah. To give thanks is a good way to drink. Always rejoice. Unceasingly pray. And in everything, give thanks. When we give thanks to the Lord, this is a very good way to drink of that living water. Also, calling upon His name, as we mentioned. There it is. Call upon His name. And then another one. How many of you, when we were singing the songs this morning, something got bubbling up in there, right? Maybe some of you, maybe not so much. But I think a lot of us is like, my heart's getting warmed up, right? When we were singing, I've got rivers of life flowing out of my innermost being. And we all said, Carl's got, you know, something started bubbling up, right? We sing to the Lord. We sing to the Lord. This is a good way to drink, right? So So many things. Call on His name. Give thanks to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Even, this is good. Cry out and shout. Hallelujah. Oh Lord! Hallelujah! Sometimes, you know, when you're by yourself, it's good to just cry out. You know, there's something, it's not just a physical form, it's in the Bible. We need to cry out to the Lord. You know, when we're really desperate, no one has to convince us to cry out. You just go, Lord! You know my situation. I'm so, You don't have to even, the Lord knows it. But you just tell Him, Lord, I'm crying out to You. Okay, but now this leads to something very important. These are all related to drinking. But here in this verse, in this portion, shares something else very important. Make His deeds known among the people. Remind them that His name is exalted. So our drinking and our flowing are very related. In one sense, we spend a lot of time to how do we drink because maybe we didn't know. And or if we did know, we need to be reminded, right? I'm reminding you that His name is exalted. But related to our drinking, we also have to flow out. If this bottle were here, and I filled it, eventually it couldn't take any more in. It has to flow out. But if I put a cap on it, like what Paul mentioned, nothing can get in and it can't get out. And so, in one sense, if we don't flow out, then we can't drink anymore. Then our thirst goes away. It's very serious. So, how do we flow out? We flow out by speaking. You're going to have an opportunity in a few minutes to flow out. Flow out something you received from this message. And in this kind of gathering, it's the best area to practice. Because I have a challenge for you. I would say this. If you don't speak here, you probably won't speak to your friends or somebody else on the street. We're all safe here. You say something like, I enjoyed the Lord's water. We're all going to be like, amen. That's great. You might say that to somebody else and they might not think that much of it. So that's why now is the best time to practice. We need to flow out. And when you flow out, guess what? You'll have more room for drinking, right? So it's good to drink. But if we don't flow out, in one sense, it will nullify our drinking. No matter how much we drink in, it's like, you know what? It's just not working. And I'm sure some of us who've practiced calling on the name of the Lord have had this experience where like, I'm calling, but I'm just not getting through. I'm just not getting through. Well, maybe that's because we haven't flowed out. We haven't flowed out in a while. And so then I would say this. We may need to ask the Lord, give me an opportunity where I could speak something. Because it's not just a matter of like, now I know I need to flow out. I'm just going to try to make something happen. We need to still come to the Lord, ask Him, Lord, give me an opportunity. Lord, you know, in my class, there's no Christians in my class. Maybe there are, I don't know. But maybe I don't know who I can talk to. Or, you know, maybe you're at your job. Lord, who am I supposed to talk to here? How can I talk to somebody? I don't know. Just ask the Lord, though. Lord, give me an opportunity. I guarantee you, if you ask the Lord for an opportunity to flow out, I don't know, he's going to be like, I really don't want to answer that prayer. No, He wants you to flow out. He gave you the water to flow out, right? He wants you to flow that water out. Right? You've got rivers of life flowing out of your innermost being. Right? That's the point. And so if we ask the Lord, He will give us an opportunity to flow out. And then this leads us to the end of this message, which is that when we drink and when we flow, the river has a way to course through our being. And so just like all those previous points, there's a way to come to Him, right? Let that river flow in us, rule in us, to purge out so many negative things. And the good illustration of this is that as we are, as we go through this, I mentioned the illustration, then I thought, let me hold that illustration for a second. Sorry. But as the water flows through us, we get transformed into a different person, right? As Paul even mentioned in his sharing, you practice spending some time with the Lord, keep doing that every day, you're not going to be the same a year from now. I'm going to mention two sisters here, Melody and Jessica. We met them on the campus. They're not the same today when I met them years ago. They have enjoyed, and there's others here too. I'm sorry, I'm just pointing them out because I did happen to meet them on the campus. And they're not the same today as they were when we first met them. Why? That river has coursed through their being. They've been transformed a little bit. We met Dave. I remember Dave, yeah. He's not the same. His brother's not the same today. Anyhow, so many. And everybody here who has been met or in some way, they're not the same. They've called his name. They're not the same. Therefore, the Lord. I'm filled with songs. But anyhow, in nature, you look at petrified wood. What happened to that? It still looks like wood. But it's rock. It's mineral. Water has coursed through it and replaced the natural material with something solid and substantial. And this is how the Lord will get his building. So we need to be open to his flowing, and we need to flow out. And this will allow that river to course through our being to where we become precious materials for the building that the Lord is looking for. So in the beginning of the Bible, there's the river with materials. At the end of the Bible, there's a city built up. And so that's the view. And in between, we're getting the flowing of the river of water of life through our being. So we become that precious city. And so I'm going to read this focus to you, because this is kind of the main burden here. You can read along. When we submit to the Lord on the throne, we can drink and flow the river of water of life. By this, we're made fruitful. We're purified and transformed into precious materials for God's building. I'll stop here, and now it's your turn to flow out. Amen.